Good Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 19. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The world is not your friend. Doesn't love your Jesus. It takes his name in vain. James says, do not the rich that you fawn over, aren't they the ones that blaspheme that holy name? Aren't they the ones that write the movies that make the Christians the offscouring of the earth? They're the ones who act like you are fools. Matt Damon saying, anybody who believes in dinosaurs were with men, they're fools and idiots. He's an actor of our day that people fawn over. Now they're spending money in Georgia to try to throw the Senate into all of the evil that we're seeing on the horizon that could possibly come to pass. And they're the people that we enjoy watching. But sometimes now you're going to find yourself sitting down and think, I can't even stand this guy. I can't stand this person for their values and their views because they have taken and they've destroyed things. Do you know that Disney actually started on purpose to have their wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights because children would go to church on Sunday nights and families would go to church and it was easier for kids to stay home and be excited about seeing Disney? That was actually a on-purpose objective of theirs, to unseat church back when we were children. We are living in a day of insidiousness, and the devil's never sitting on his talons. He's just waiting for his moments. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. He was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was of little stature. So what did he do? He ran. Now understand something about his desire. In verse 3, where it talks about he couldn't because of the press, do you know desire denied creates deeper desire? Right? It's like, okay, you've got his desire is intensified by the denial. I got to see him. There's something, man, this guy is doing stuff nobody ever did before. I got to see this. Now listen, I don't know if you're over it or not, but you should never be over Jesus. He is never dormant. He is so amazing in all his way. So amazing in your singing, when you sing to him. You know, there's only a couple of themes of real songs, you know. There's a lot of evil and, you know, drinking and chasing around. And then there's the lifting up of the soul. You know, there's love songs that could be kind of good because they're talking about husband and wife and chaste love. But there's bad love songs that are all about the evil. But there's that worship song that takes your eyes off of you and puts them on the heavens and helps you get past whatever's going on in your day to day. I want to just say to you, be careful about the rice cakes of the world's music. Because yes, you can listen to some of it. It's fine. But don't let it be your greater diet. Love on Jesus through your song. And don't allow yourself to be a person who falls into the rut in this generation of letting somebody else do your worshiping for you. You need to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Allow yourself to sing to Him. Don't just sing with somebody else in your day to day. Allow your song to be your own. Because God's got enough hymns and songs and spiritual songs to stir up the Holy Spirit within you and to give you lift in a day when you think you could despair. And this is a day like that where we feel like we could almost despair. Well, his desire was intensified by the denial. And I want you to see that what he wanted to see about Jesus was along the lines of, you know, having that quick eye of an accountant. He wanted to see who he was. Verse 4 says, and he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Now, running for a man of repute was an indignity. Running and climbing a tree. He was already saying, here I am, just a little guy. I can't see. I can't see. You can see him hopping around. He can't see. And he doesn't care. He just wants to see Jesus. I remember the song years ago about going through heaven and saying, I don't, yeah, this is great, Mark. I'm glad to talk to you. And, oh, Timothy, yeah, man, here's it. But I want to see Jesus, man. That's what I want to see. Well, that's what this guy did. He was running. He was climbing. And these were all an indignity. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to see Jesus. So he went to where he saw he would pass. by the way, and he got up in that sycamore tree. Now, the sycamore tree is more of a fig tree. It's kind of an interesting thing to note because, you know, the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. And Jesus, remember, he went to a fig tree and it had no figs. Remember what he did? He cursed it. Said, never, ever, and again, you're going to have any figs on this tree? Well, there's a big fig in this tree because this guy's a real deal. He really does have this culmination of his experience that has brought him to be somebody that Jesus will recognize. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now you look at that and you got to say, well, wait a minute, how does he know his name? Well, he's God. Okay. Do you remember when the disciples were bringing Bartholomew to Jesus and he says, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile? And he says, Lord, he says, how do you know me? He said, I saw you when you were under the tree. And that's how he knew. His accounts were current. He had been praying and Jesus saw him. And Jesus also saw Zacchaeus. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what part of his life he was in. You know, there are parts in your life where you're in darkness because you decided, I'm going to drill into this. You want to know what's amazing about that? Is that when we were in those moments, God didn't wipe us out right there. I mean, there were moments when he could have said, this is it. I've had enough. You guys, you're done. But that's not the way God works. Because he sees the kernel of heart that we have. He sees the people who will come to him once they see Jesus clearly. You see, Jesus is the one who changes us. There's sometimes you get around somebody and you just think, man, they're really neat. I'd like to spend more time with them. There's nobody like that more than Jesus. You see, when you realize that this world is made up of liars and murderers and thieves and people who will use you and abuse you and cast you aside and not think twice. When you look at our government shutting down our businesses, you say, these are our leaders? They're shutting down our country for a figment of imagination? They're corralling people? They're willing to let people die in nursing homes because they're putting people with COVID in amongst the most weak and vulnerable? You're seeing on steroids what you always knew was true. And what you see is that this world is not your friend. But there is somebody who is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants us to be in the yoke with him because this world is broken and there's only one way through, and that's in the yoke right next to him. I find it fascinating that this man is in that tree and Jesus says to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That I must reminds us of the woman at the well. I must needs go through Samaria. And where did he go? He went to the woman at the well. The guy said, we're going to go get some McDonald's. We'll be back in a little bit. But he stayed at the well. And he sat on the edge of the well. And this woman came at the hottest part of the day because she was ashamed to come when all the other women came. Because they derided her and made her feel humiliated. So she waited for the hardest time to come. And she happened to find Jesus there. He must needs go through Samaria. He must eat with Zacchaeus this day, a man whose heart was ready. Now, I got to say to you that it breaks my heart that I don't see more hearts ready today for Jesus. I work with people and sometimes it blows my mind that they have such delusion to think that they are saved people. Even though their language is so completely foul and putrid, their way that they deal with one, it just boggles my mind. I mean, I get it. You could let one slip now and again and feel a little bit, you know, after a few minutes of that, you'd think, oh, man, I should probably not do that. But, you know, I get it. You can have a couple lapses, but I mean, this is their way. And the ways and the choices and the things that they have chosen, that's what they're living by. And yet they think they and Jesus are all right. They're like Doobie Brother Christians. Jesus is just all right with me. Well, you're not all right with Jesus. OK, he might be all right with you, but you aren't all right with him if you've not come to him as a savior. Now, the Bible says that he made haste and he came down joyfully. And I find it very interesting that here he is excited to have Jesus near him, because I'll tell you something. When you're sick in a bed of affliction, many times it's hard to have somebody walk in the room that's well and buoyant and full of life and flush in the face, you know, and all that. They make you feel worse. But you see, this is Zacchaeus. And I go back to the fact that this man is probably a person who's a purist. He took the cards he was dealt and he was dealing with them the best he could. You know, some people have no qualms about ripping other people off. The publican, he was rich. But he also knew the law. And you will see that in a moment. But I want you to know that when Jesus was talking about this in 18, he says, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" Right away, you have that question mark. Well, he's rich. Shouldn't he feel a little bit uncomfortable, especially since he was the guy who got it from others by graft and by circumstances that were inappropriate? Well, I say to you that this is a man who is now full of cheer because Jesus wanted to see him. That's something to be happy about. He was happy. He was wanting to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to really see him. Do you really want to see who Jesus is? Do you really? Do you know Jesus is altogether good? Okay, he is. And sometimes when you're around somebody who's altogether good, it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. There are people I've been around in my Christian life that I thought, man, he just makes me feel like a pygmy spiritually. He just, man, he gives, he gets up and he goes and he does and he's serving and he's willing to, you know, give money and he's working extra hours to help other people. And I mean, just blows me away. They're tireless. Because what's happened is somehow maybe a good family, a good foundation, but they found Jesus and it just took it on the steroids. We ought to all aspire to be like that. And the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we ought to become like that because Jesus was tireless as well. Well, when Jesus came to the place and he looked up and he told him to come down, he made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. I remember one time where I walked into a home. It was a little apartment on top of a theater, you know, middle of our little town in Wind Gap, Pennsylvania. And there was this little apartment and this lady was sitting there at the table with her Bible open as I came into her house. And she said, "Tell me, how can I know I'm going to heaven?" Never had that before. I'm like, you just blew half of my talk here for the first 15, 20 minutes of just trying to warm up. And you've just gone right to the chase. And I had the privilege of leading that lady to Jesus because she was ready. Do you know back in the days of the Great Awakenings, they would have people like George Whitefield and Charles Wesley and some of these guys going around. And when they would go in, Jonathan Edwards is known to have gone across as an itinerant preacher. He was not known for bombastic preaching, but he wrote his sermons and he read them in candlelight. And they would preach those sermons by simply reading his sermon from candlelight in barns. And people were known to have held on to the barn poles, crying out, "God, have mercy on me!" as he simply read the words of doom and damnation that would come upon the lost. Now listen, the thing that comes home to my heart as I prepare this message for us today is that I'm seeing people who are neither repenting of their sins. It's not happening. In the 9/11 experience, people came out 2 or 3 weeks and they were gone. That was a sad stroke, but it was something. But we're right now up against it, man. People's backs are against the wall and people are not worried about their souls. They don't realize that right now we are on a precipice of doom in the greatest country the world has ever seen. And I say to you that Jesus is the only answer to getting through this. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.